Good afternoon. For the record, my name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. This afternoon, I am representing the applicant, North Star Property LLC, who is the contract purchaser of the property in question that you see on the screens around the room. With me this afternoon to assist as necessary, sitting in the front row to my right, your left, is John Hoffman, a representative from North Star Property LLC. Sitting next to him in the front row on my right is David Holden. He's a development director with the Engerman Group, who would be the group that would construct the affordable housing component of the project. The gentlemen that were sitting next to me on my left-hand side, your right-hand side, I think you're both familiar with, but they are Ring Lardner and Cliff Mumford, professional engineers from Davis Bowen and Friedel, and the project engineers for North Star. In the second row behind on my right, on the far left is Morris James summer associate, Nathan Greenlee. He will probably not be contributing anything this afternoon. Sitting next to him, to his right, is Dr. Ed Otter, an archaeologist with Edward Otter, Inc. And to his right is Mr. Ed Linnae, a professional wetland scientist with Environmental Resource Insights, which is a division of Davis Bowen and Friedel. Not here, but if you looked through, and I know you all did, looked through the project book materials and all the various reports and studies that were accomplished as part of getting to this point this afternoon. Other professionals who were involved include Will Tupac, a Maryland DNR qualified forest professional and senior environmental scientist with Watershed Eco. There's also a report from Andrew Hayes, and he is got multiple titles. He's a professional engineer. He's a registered landscape architect. He's also a certified ecological restoration practitioner, and he's with Foresight Associates Ecological Integration. In the project materials, there's also a report from Daryl Carrington, who has a PhD in design, and he was North Star's sustainable design consultant on this project. And the last professional that I will reference is Dr. Anibon Bashu, and he's an economist with the SAGE Policy Group, and there's a report from the SAGE Policy Group that's also in the project materials. First, this afternoon, I wanted to thank you for agreeing to consolidate these presentations into one presentation, a single presentation. You'll certainly be appreciative of that, as will everybody else, by the time we get done this afternoon. More importantly, though, I wanted to thank you for agreeing to schedule this public hearing on a special date. I know everybody took another Wednesday, old habits die hard, Wednesday afternoon during the summertime in July to conduct this hearing. And my client and I recognize the additional burden that this places on the Planning Commission, but certainly also as well Mr. Whitehouse and his staff. Their work is very much appreciated. I know how active they have been, or at least a small portion of how active they have been, just on the number of emails, phone conversations, and such that I've had, and I see several of them in the room, over the last several months to get to this point. As the Commission knows, this application was expedited at the request of the applicant in order to try to bring affordable housing to Eastern Sussex County as soon as possible. The county, like the rest of the United States and probably internationally, has been trying to figure out answers to affordable housing. The Planning Commission will recall the attention paid to affordable housing during the 2018 Comprehensive Plan review process. Throughout that process, affordable housing and the housing chapter of the Comprehensive Plan had a great deal of attention paid to it. In 2019, Sussex County also commissioned the Housing Opportunities and Market Evaluation by LSA, which report the county has relied upon a great deal since it was issued. The impact of these two reports continues to this day. As you're familiar with, the county has adopted amendments to the Sussex County Rental Program. And most recently, and this was in front of this Planning Commission within the last 2 months, the county modified the accessory dwelling unit ordinance, again, an attempt to address affordable housing in Sussex County. And both of those, the Sussex County Rental Program, the accessory dwelling unit ordinance, were both concerns raised and referenced in that the home report that was commissioned in 2019, as well as the comprehensive plan. This afternoon, myself and Mr. Holden, here in a few minutes, We'll explain the affordable housing opportunity that's presented by North Star this afternoon through the low-income housing tax program. For those who are not familiar with it, Mr. Holden will give us a brief primer on it, and so we can all be a little more intelligent on what that is and how that will help in Eastern Sussex County. Given the scale of the North Star project, as is represented again on the screens around the room, the developer recognized at the outset, from the time it contracted to purchase this property, that this landmass presented an opportunity for affordable housing in Eastern Sussex County, where the need is very acute. Not being an expert in the best way to provide affordable housing opportunities, North Star Property sought out experts in the industry to see how best the property could be used. North Star met with Ingerman, who you'll again hear from in a few minutes, regarding affordable housing, having realized that they are a leader in affordable housing in the Mid-Atlantic region. And I'll let Mr. Holden explain a little bit about just the locations that they are, the number of units and such that they have that are affordable housing units. Through those meetings with Ingerman, two concerns arose that they presented. The first concern with respect to creating the barriers to creating affordable housing in Eastern Sussex County was the cost of the land. The second concern that Ingerman raised in their discussions with North Star was that the amount of time it takes to get through the entitlement process. It is difficult to secure funding when there's an unknown with respect to the land use entitlements. To address the first issue, that the cost of land, North Star Property offered to donate the land for the affordable housing section of the North Star project to provide a suitable location in Eastern Sussex County for affordable housing. In addition, North Star told Ingerman that it would handle the entitlement process and walk it through with Ingerman through the entitlement process. The second concern that I referenced that was relayed by Ingerman, as I mentioned, was the time in the entitlement process. Based upon the county's position on expediting applications through the Sussex County Rental Program, a letter was submitted that is part of the project book materials and certainly part of the record in this case, requesting that this application for the North Star project be expedited to help address affordable housing. Recognizing the need for affordable housing in Eastern Sussex County, the county did agree to expedite the applications, and of course that's what brings us here this afternoon. When Mr. Whitehouse introduced the applications, one of the items he referenced in each of those applications that he introduced was the project book materials that were submitted. Those are what Ms. Steinbach referenced a moment ago when she said she was glad they weren't hers. If you printed them out, this is what they would look like. This, again, just a volume of material, studies, and reports, and thankfully is not my speaking or presentation notes for this afternoon.
Yeah, glad you're not reading it into the record.
As you can see, just from that volume of material and even the length of time it took Mr. Whitehouse to describe the record in this case, there's been a great deal of thought and a great deal of planning that went into this application. I wanted to begin this afternoon with a very brief history and overview of the applications. I will then ask Mr. Lardner to discuss site plan and technical aspects of each of the applications. And then I will return to further discuss how these projects are code compliant, part of the comprehensive plan compliant, and other things. To begin, though, the North Star project is master planned infill, and its compliance and consistency with the land use and planning tools that are provided by the state of Delaware, its various agencies, we just heard from one of those, Sussex County through its comprehensive plan and the zoning ordinance and subdivision codes, all of those various agencies, this plan has been designed and structured to carefully comply with those. In addition, and you'll hear about this not only from us, but I'm sure from some of the individuals in the room behind me, that the applicant's team met with many neighbors to discuss the applications, and you will hear how those meetings and discussions directly impacted the application that's in front of you this afternoon. In summary, North Star represents thoughtful planning and compliance with all the guideposts provided to property owners in Sussex County. While the location of the property likely needs no introduction, the image on the screen, I'm sure everyone in this room will readily recognize, given the number of times people travel on the Route 9 or the Beaver Dam roadways. But this is an overview, a rendering of the project that's obviously been placed over a current Google Earth style aerial image. And for those who have been in Sussex County, we heard from one of the opening comments, who track real property ownership. This property, I think, is most often referred to colloquially as just the Rollins Farm, as that is the name of the local owners who have owned the property for a long time. The property totals 433 acres and is located, as you can see, just south of the Lewis-Georgetown Highway, or Route 9, which starts up here in this corner of the screen and then, of course, runs towards the left. So all of the land south of Route 9. And then, of course, you can see that there are parcels of the land that are on the opposite side of Beaver Dam Road, which is this roadway right here that the cursor is on. Significant to this afternoon is that this piece here is not part of the application this afternoon. As is indicated on those maps, that is residual lands that is not included in this acreage. And so that area totals approximately 33 acres, which means that the remaining 400 acres are the subject matter of this afternoon's applications.
David, before you go further, that brings up a point. I just want to get clear in the record for my own benefit and for the record. Of that parcel that's considered residual lands, that's not included in the acreage of any of the projects, but it's also, at the same time, therefore not used in any of the open space calculations, density calculations, or anything of that nature. Is that correct?
That is 100% correct. For instance, you will hear that there's approximately 166 acres of open space that does not include the 33 okay. acres that are not part okay. of this.
Thank you. I want to make sure of that.
When you look at this surrounding communities map, as it's called at the bottom on the screen, you can see how this project is infill. When you start to the north of the property, I'm going to put the cursor there, most people will recognize this community as the Vineyards, which is, as the commission is aware, is a mixture of high-density residential as well as commercial, including professional offices, retail, and, of course, a large-scale grocer in the Redner's Fresh Market. Again, this is directly across from the North Star project. When you move across the Route 9 roadway, the next community that you come to is Lewis Crossing, and Lewis Crossing has the distinction of actually being on both, just like this project, on both sides of Beaver Dam Road. And of course, Lewis Crossing is a single-family home subdivision similar to what is proposed for North Star. On the opposite side of Lewis Crossing is Henlopen Landing and Seawood, and then along the southern boundary of the North Star lands on the south side of Beaver Dam Road, you have Gosling Creek Purchase, again, another single-family property. The area where the cursor is located now along this southern boundary of the property on the southern side of Beaver Dam Road is owned by Brandel Jackson. And if you looked at the comment letters that are in the record, Mr. Jackson is in support of the North Star project. As you continue along the project's boundary here along Beaver Dam Road, the road that heads off towards the right here is Jimtown Road. And so, of course, this is the Jimtown community. I will obviously we'll move past the 33 acres that is residual lands and not part of this application. On the opposite side of Beaver Dam Road over here, this circular drive connects all the various spindles of the Coastal Club community. This notch in the North Star lands consists of the Pam Ann Riding Stables and the Elks Lodge. When you come along down further along Beaver Dam Road, the western boundary of the property, these parcels here, as you can see, are agricultural and wooded. As you move to where the cursor is located, those areas are within the Truitt expansion, part of an agricultural preservation easement, this wooded block right here. And then, of course, moving a little closer to Route 9, you have the residential single-family community, the reserves at Lewis Landing. And when you go across, back across Route 9 there, you have Sussex East and Sussex West, which are manufactured home communities. And as you travel then in an easterly direction or northeasterly direction, the next community that is along the frontage of the North Star project is Seaspray Village. And then, of course, that completes our clockwise tour around the property, and we are now back to the vineyards. North Star is the property that connects all of those various communities together. Physically, the boundaries of all of those communities touch the North Star project, and you'll see through some of the information that Mr. Lardner will present how North Star provides that important linkage amongst all of those various communities. With that orientation to the area, I did want to touch on the history of the property and then describe the four applications. An archaeological assessment was prepared by Dr. Edward Otter, who's with us this afternoon. As is always the case with these reports, at least for those who are fascinated by history like I am, there's a wealth of information about not only the history of this property, the Rollins Farm, but about pretty much the surrounding area. You see all the Orphans Court records and all of those other various documents that Dr. Otter assembles and includes in those matters. Dr. Otter is scheduled to complete his investigation this coming fall. As I indicated, the property that is the subject of this afternoon's application consists of approximately 400 acres. Those 400 acres are what is the four applications that I would review very quickly. The first I would mention is the subdivision, the cluster subdivision application, 2023-14. In round numbers, it's 379 acres with 758 proposed single-family lots. Change of zone application number 2025, which is the second application, is a change of zone application seeking to change the designation of the portion of the property where the cursor is directly across from the vineyards. This is 12.69 acres, and the seeking a designation of C3 heavy zoning under the county's zoning ordinance. Directly across the proposed extension of Mulberry Knoll Road, where the cursor is located, you can see, and right underneath the cursor, is change of zone number 2026, and that is a 7.88 acre parcel seeking a change in zoning designation from AR1 to MR, medium density residential district. For that same 7.88 acres, there's also a conditional use application seeking 94 affordable housing multifamily units for that site. As I mentioned at the outset, as the commission knows from all of the hearings it conducts and the work it does, there are various land planning tools to help the state, local government, property owners, and municipalities know how property owners should be able to plan. We just heard from one of those agencies. And the first of those tools that exists is, of course, the Office of State Planning Coordination, a state agency that issues the strategies for state policies and spending every 5 years. The last update to that was in 2020. And the map that they include, mapping the various investment levels in the state, is included, of course, on the image around the room. This map shows, of course, not only the North Star property, but the properties that immediately surround it. And as you can see, the majority of the property is within this tannish color, and that is the state's investment level 2. You can see there are a number of ribbons of area at various points in the project that have a lighter shade of that tan, and those are investment level 3 areas. And if you were to align those with some of the maps that Mr. Lardner will present, you will see that that is areas that might, for instance, have a wetland on it, and that is why it's been designated as level 3. The state strategies for state policies and spendings specifically describes what a level 2 area is. For the benefit of everyone in the room, I'll read from an excerpt from the state strategies. In investment level 2 areas, like investment level 1 areas, state investments and policies should support and encourage a wide range of uses and densities, promote other transportation options, foster efficient use of existing public and private investments, and enhance community identity and integrity. Investments should encourage departure from the typical single-family dwelling developments and promote a broader mix of housing types and commercial sites, encouraging compact mixed-use development where applicable. Overall, the state's intent is to use its spending and management tools to promote well-designed development in these areas. Such development provides for a variety of housing types, user-friendly transportation systems, essential open spaces and recreational facilities, other public facilities and services to promote a sense of community. Based on that description of what investment level two means under the Office of State Planning Coordination's state strategy maps, it's likely why in their plus comment letter, they stated that based on North Star's location in a level two and level three investment area, this project may be consistent with the 2020 strategies for state policies and spending. Not only is North Star consistent with the state strategies that were just relayed, but is also consistent with the 2018 comprehensive plan. The entirety of the North Star property is within the yellow area that's on the screen. The overlay, of course, has covered that up, but as you can see, the boundary of the coastal area extends to Dairy Farm Road, which is just past this site. So the entirety of the property is, as I mentioned, within the coastal area, and as the commission is aware, that is one of the county's seven growth areas. As you can see on the screens, every property that surrounds North Star is either within that same coastal area, that same growth area, or is within the commercial area, this red where the vineyards is located. And that is a commercial area, which is another growth area within Sussex County. Chapter 4 of the comprehensive plan, the future land use chapter, includes table 4.5-2 entitled Zoning Districts Applicable to Future Land Use Categories. Both the requested C3 heavy commercial district as well as the MR medium density residential district are applicable zoning districts in the coastal area based on that chart and that table that was just referenced, and that's the significance of their designation on the 2045 future land use map. Of course, as the commission knows, the comprehensive plan indicates what are permitted uses within each of the various growth areas. With respect to the coastal area, it states the coastal areas are areas that can accommodate development provided special environmental concerns are addressed. A range of housing types should be permitted in coastal areas, including single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units. Retail and office uses are appropriate, but larger shopping centers and office parks should be confined to selected locations with access along arterial roads. Appropriate mixed-use development should also be allowed. In doing so, careful mixtures of homes with light commercial, office, and institutional uses can be appropriate to provide for convenient services and to allow people to work close to home. All four of the applications that are being presented this afternoon meet this description of permitted uses within coastal areas. And as you just heard, that's a very similar description to how the state described investment level two. The next planning tool that the county has available to property owners and state agencies is, of course, the county zoning map. Everything on the map that you see that is unshaded is AR1. If we took the aerial overlay off of this map, you would see that the entirety of the North Star project is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. The red immediately across the street of Route 9 is, of course, the vineyards, as we've mentioned, and that is zoned C1, General Commercial. The darker red behind it is a very similar zoning district. That is the county's CR1 Commercial Residential District. Lewis Crossing that we mentioned, that of course is zoned AR. The yellow color behind that is the MR district, and that is Henlopen Landing. Traveling around the community, when you get to the properties that are along both sides of Jimtown Road, that tannish color is the GR, General Residential District. As you move along Beaver Dam Road, the yellow where Coastal Club is located is of course also the county's MR zoning district. And then as we move to the opposite side of Route 9, this pinkish color is the county's B1 neighborhood business district. And of course then that puts us back, having completed the cycle around the clock again. In reviewing those zoning districts, I'm hopeful that the planning that went into this afternoon's application is evident. The request for the C3 heavy commercial was requested along Route 9. As you heard in the description from the comprehensive plan, commercial uses are intended to be along arterial highways. DLDOT would refer to Route 9 as a principal arterial. The Sussex County Code refers to Route 9 as a major arterial highway. But as you will see, the commercial that it was proposed for this project aligns with the commercial zoning designation that exists presently in the Vineyards community. And that aligns, of course, with not only a zoning map, but the comprehensive plan map as well. Of course, it's also an appropriate place, not only because of the highway, but because this intersection, which presently is an entrance into the Vineyards, is a signalized intersection. And as Mulberry Knoll Road is extended and heads off, there will be a fourth leg of that intersection. And so the commercial is proposed as a signalized intersection along a major arterial highway. Similarly, the planning for the MR portion, where the cursor is located on the screen, again, mirrors what is across the street in the Vineyards. In the Vineyards, you have a high-density residential use, multifamily-style use with apartments and condominiums. And what is proposed for the MR zoning portion of the property immediately across the street from that would be consistent with what's within the Vineyards project. With that review of the location, history, and surroundings, I'm going to ask Mr. Lardner to review the project's compliance with code and engineering requirements by describing the site plan and technical features.